Sleepy town settled for the night, where every lawn is tailored just right. And it's about time that the back porch light comes on. At the house down the street, at that house on Magnolia Street.
I'm recording. You're recording.
Our pets' heads are falling off!
Hi! You look so comfy.
My pets' heads would fall off right now because Punky was being a whiny little shit before.
Oh my god.
He just settled down. I guess he went to finally lay down like right before you marked me. So luckily he's like chill now.
We need silence. Silence.
Do you ever see Mulholland Drive?
Mm-mm.
It's a David Lynch movie. It's so fucking weird. I was just talking to you about David Lynch. Did you see Marco about Twin Peaks?
Oh, I like David Lynch. Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Oh, yeah, he's Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I started watching that, then I fell off the wagon, and then they took it off Netflix, and now I'm like, I want to finish watching it now. But it's gone.
It's gone.
So, yeah.
It got real fucking weird.
Did you watch the whole thing? Is it only two seasons?
Yeah.
It is?
Both are really weird. Yeah, well, I think there's one complete season, and then I thought they took, like, a huge hiatus, and they, like, brought it back for, like, a special couple episodes. I have no idea.
Do they resolve anything, or do they just, like, leave it hanging because it got canceled?
Dude, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have no idea.
All right, I gotta watch it.
Okay. Am I in the right? Okay, I'm in the right note.
So you made a whole PowerPoint presentation for your therapist. Tell me about this.
I will. Because how do you sum up and like expect them to know like your family? And I feel all over the place, so I'm just gonna like make sure she knows who everybody is.
Who's fucking you up in the head?
Who's fucking me up in the head? They get a little green light, or they get a red flag.
Or you get the soul in the crossbones.
Oh yeah, like grandpa dead.
No, I was saying like the poison people, like the people, the toxic people.
Caitlin sent it to me as a meme, like as a joke. And I was like, haha.
And you're like, funny. I'm gonna take that and run with it.
I was like, is that weird to do? I wanna kinda do here.
That's really actually brilliant, because then you don't have to sit there and rehash your entire fucking history. My trauma. That's too good, though. I like it. So wait, did you present this to him, her, yet?
No. I just started like 30 minutes before we got on here. Ew, these are
They have no idea who they're dealing with when they sit down.
No. We chatted yesterday, and I'm throwing all these names at her.
And she's like, whoa.
Yeah, and I know that's her job, but she was like actively like writing things down, trying to probably figure out who's who. I'm like, I'll just give you a family tree. Here's everybody in my life.
So much easier.
I know. Here's your cheat sheet
that
we can go over.
Hashtag Virgo rising. We just want to make everybody's life easier.
Yes.
Right?
But thank you for asking, and I can't wait to do your slide.
Ooh.
It's pink.
It's going to be pink?
It's pink. And I have everybody's like sun sign written out.
Is your new therapist like into the whole birth chart thing?
I don't know if she's into it, but she's got a bachelor's degree from Savannah. She's a fine arts photography person.
Oh, that's
person.
Cool. So then she's artsy fartsy, so then she's probably into that shit.
So
cool.
Oh man. Okay. Hey witch, hey.
Hey witch, hey. What's happening?
Welcome to song episode number.
Let's follow the script because I have it all here.
Yeah. Okay. I was saying, hey, witch, hey, and then you fucking blew it because you didn't.
Sorry. All right, let's do this. Let's start again. Start over.
Hey, witch, hey.
Hey, witch, hey. I'm Justina.
I'm Christina, and welcome to Magnolia Street, your one and only musically inspired practical magic fandom podcast.
That's right. Every week, we deep dive on different aspects of the movie and the books. And if you've been listening from the very beginning, you guys will know that we, the Steenas, have written many practical magic inspired original songs that every so often we share with you via these song episodes. We actually started this podcast as a way for Christina and I to showcase some of this awesome music we've been writing that will help keep you immersed in the world of the Owens family in a more musical way, if that's your thing.
That's right. And if you guys have been keeping up with our musical journey, you've probably been able to see all the amazing things we've been able to manifest as a result of this podcast.
Yeah. This past summer, we were able to connect with Plaid Dog Recording, which is a studio up in Boston that specializes in helping small artists just like us raise the funds to record professional radio-ready songs.
Yeah. And once we decided to work with them, things took off relatively quickly, right? In September, we went up to Boston to record our first single, Magnolia Street. And then within a very short week of getting that final mix back, we had launched our crowdfunding campaign, which ran through the end of October.
Yes, the single most stressful month of my life in a long time. Did you say the same?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
What a whirlwind that was, right? But yes, I would say it was worth it because you guys helped us raise $11,000 to get back into the studio to record four more songs, just like the first single you heard. So we just want to send you all of our deepest gratitude for helping us do that. And we cannot wait to get back up to Boston and have more recording adventures and just work on getting more of these songs recorded for you guys. I mean, yes, we wrote the songs, but it truly takes a village. And we just want to thank you guys for being our, quote, village.
My little village.
Our little village, people.
Yeah.
Let's do the YMCA.
Yeah. Yeah, with that being said, let's talk about more music. Okay, before we dive in, though, into this episode and the song, we want to let you know that we have created a Spotify playlist with just our song episodes in them. So check that out over in our show notes. You can find that. If you would like to go down that rabbit hole of our original music and all the behind the scenes stuff and the writing process that goes along with those.
Yeah. And if you're into all of our music stuff, you can find all the bonuses for these episodes on our $8 rose tier over on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/Magnolia Street Podcast. That tier is where we post our demos from these song episodes, as well as lyric sheets, guitar chords, if you want to play along, if you do happen to play guitar, as well as any other bonuses that go along with today's song.
Today, we bring you the first song-isode of season 2. And this song-isode is number 6 for our Practical Magic inspired original song titled One Green Eye, One Blue. And if you've been listening in this past month, you may have heard our last two Gary inspired episodes. We did a whole character analysis episode as well as a whole episode dedicated to just his eyeballs, his rare eye condition known as heterochromia.
Yes. And today we are kind of snowballing off of those last two episodes, more specifically the latter, because that's pretty much the basis and inspiration behind today's original song. So Christina, would you just briefly tell us once more, what exactly is heterochromia?
Heterochromia of the eye of the eye is when one iris is a different color from the other. In our most recent episode, we discovered that there are actually different kinds of heterochromia. In sectoral heterochromia, part of one iris is a different color from its remainder, like the remaining eye. In central heterochromia, there's a ring around the pupil, or possibly like spikes of different color that radiate out of the pupil that's a different color than the outer ring.
Didn't you say you thought you have heterochromia now that you looked at its close picture of your eye?
I think I do, but again, is it just hazel? I don't know. I don't understand. Yes, my inner part is like goldy brown, and then the outer, you said kind of teal, like a teal color.
So fascinating. So in the film, Gary has what we call complete heterochromia. So that means both of his eyes are completely different colors in that one scene anyway. And you guys probably know the scene that we're talking about if you listened to our last episode, or if you've seen the movie a bajillion times. But if not, the scene we are talking about is when Sally goes to meet up with Gary at his B&B to give him her testimony on March 8th, 1998. And they have that hot makeout session on top of all Gary's photo evidence. When they stop mid-makeout and Sally grabs his face and notices one green eye, one blue. And Christina, why was this such a pivotal moment for Sally in the film?
Because it's the moment where she remembers the Amas Victitas left spell that she cast when she was a child, and she wanted to create the perfect man, but she was certain that he didn't exist. And if he didn't exist,
she'll never die of a broken heart.
Oh my God, just stab me in the heart, why don't ya?
Right. That was the moment she realized that he does in fact exist, and it freaks her out so much that she just has to leave. She just bolts. And she made poor Gary kind of feel like a freak. His confidence was clearly a little crushed when he replies, I was born with it.
Yeah. I feel like so much of the movie is all about Sally and her love spell and all the qualities that she wished for in a man, and we really see all of this happening from her perspective, which I mean we should. She is the protagonist of the film. However, I thought it would be interesting to write this little love story, this song, from Gary's perspective or through his eyes, quite
Yeah,
literally.
it's funny too that the thing that makes him special, his eye, he owns that I was born with it. That is his special thing. And Sally, I think, is freaked out by her special thing, the thing that she was born with, and she's constantly running away from that, right?
Right, and she runs away because she doesn't want to tell him, right?
Yeah.
So she makes him self-conscious, but little does he know that she's also self-conscious. So it's kind of this weird paradox. So yeah, I mean, the writers of the film did a great job of showing the love spell from Gary's perspective as a kid, even though it's a very quick scene. I'm talking about the scene where Sally is telling Gary that she worked a spell when she was younger. And as she's telling this story, we see a flashback of a young Gary sitting backwards on a white pony with the stars shaved or painted into the horse's behind, right? And we see the white rose petals that Sally sends off into the moon earlier in the film during her Amas Fiddy love spell scene. They fall down around Gary while he's looking up at the sky when he's a child, and it's the most wholesomely adorable scene ever. Also, I wanted to correct myself in the last heterochromia episode. We're talking about the appearance of Gary's eye in the film, and I think I said the only time we see Gary with one green eye, one blue, was a scene in the B&B when Sally stops kissing him and we get a close-up shot of his face. I would be right if I said that this was the only time we see adult Gary with the visible heterochromia, but I never noticed this. You can actually see the heterochromia clear as day as soon as young Gary's face pops up on the screen at about 1 hour, 24 minutes, and 37 seconds. I'm not sure if I ever noticed this before, but this is the only other time in the movie that I believe we actually see the heterochromia in full effect. Also, I want to bring up one other thing. Who is this kid? Does anybody know who he is? Do they say it in the director's commentary? Does this kid actually have
He's not in the
heterochromia?
credits?
No, he's not anywhere in the credits. I searched on the
Why?
IMDb page for a credit for this young actor to try to see what he's up to these days, and also to see if does he really have heterochromia, or is this also just the special effect,
Right.
right?
It's very subtle. Who is this
I
guy?
don't know. There's
So
no credit
funny.
on the page for this young actor who plays young Gary. So if
Yeah.
anybody knows, send your info into our tip line at magnoliastreetpodcast@gmail.com. I want to know who this kid is. What's he up to nowadays? If we can manage to track him down, maybe we could find out his whole experience filming this movie. It would be so cool.
Find baby Gary.
Find baby Gary. So I guess that's all I really have to say now that we're going to get into the song and we're going to talk about the songwriting process behind it. And this eye condition is basically what inspired it. It's also a love song from Gary's perspective because, Sally's the protagonist. So we see everything from her perspective, really. So I kind of wanted to write a love song coming from him. And I don't think this was an intentional choice. I think it was just something that happened, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we get into the drafts and all the stuff that I'm going to show you. But a few things I want to mention before we jump into the writing process for this song. This was actually the fourth song started for this project. It was incepted on February 18th, 2022, and was finished being written by March 1st. So less than a month writing a song from beginning to end. I wrote a majority of the song in the shower, pretty sure.
Ah, that's
And
crazy.
when I first wrote it, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I thought it sounded too cheesy and lovey-dovey kind of pop song, kind of along the lines of a certain pop star who we'll talk about a little later on. I think I might have told you that, but we'll talk about that later. It took me quite a bit to warm up to this song. So I had to play it through. I think I had to go through the entire writing process for it to become eventually what it was for me to see what it was going to become before I kind of liked it. So it kind of grew on me. And I think this is currently one of my favorite ones of ours, especially to play live.
Yeah,
It's
it's cute.
also the first doo-wop style song that I've ever written. And
Oh,
I
cool.
didn't even realize this until after I wrote it. I showed it to my parents, and my dad was like, "Oh, you wrote a doo-wop song." And I was like, "Oh,
Oh.
yeah, I guess I did."
Very cool.
I don't know why I was drawing from that old school sound. I think we might have mentioned this in a previous episode, or previous song episode rather, maybe for Magnolia Street. But I think I was subconsciously drawing from Broadway musicals, more specifically, I think Little Shop of Horrors, I think I mentioned to you
Yeah.
before, which is largely influenced by that doo-wop sound and that Motown sound. I don't think it was an intentional thing. I wasn't trying to intentionally write a doo-wop style song. I don't even know if I necessarily knew how to write a doo-wop style song. like that, or a love song in doo-wop style for that matter. I just started playing with the muses were sending to me, and I just stayed on that ride until it was over. I was fully committed. I was like, I'm gonna see this through.
I love that.
So almost 1 year later, after writing the song, I actually debuted this song with a live performance at the Seven Crest in Teaneck, New Jersey on Friday, January 27th, 2023. And that's crazy that at the time of recording this, this episode right now, it hasn't even been a year since that performance.
Oh my gosh.
At the time that this episode airs, it will still only be 1 month until it's been a year, if that makes any sense.
Unreal.
Which is crazy to me because it feels like I played that show 2 or 3 years ago because this past year has been such a whirlwind.
It has been a lifetime.
Right? I feel like not only our podcast, but our music has experienced a little bit of growth over the course of the past year, being able to get into the studio and get our first single recorded. Christina went and became a full-fledged recording artist during that time. We ran a successful crowdfunding campaign. We're going to go back up to Boston come the spring to record 4 more songs that you guys help us raise the money for. I mean, we're making strides. So it's crazy to me that this performance was not even 1 year ago. It just feels so like a lifetime ago. So also one other thing that I want to mention is that that live performance was the first time I graced the stage alone with my acoustic guitar since probably about 2014 or maybe even prior to that. So coming up on a decade of not playing or performing, I was glad to be able to showcase this song at a show to a packed house. Even though I knew the crowd wasn't there for me, it was just nice to get back out and play some songs. And this was one of the songs that I played in that set. So there is a recording of me playing that song at that performance. I think it's on the Patreon already. I'll have to double check, but I think I posted up there shortly after the performance. So if you guys want to go see it, just go search January 2023 for it over on the Patreon database. If it's not there, I'll upload it if you guys want to watch it. And you guys can see all the bonus videos on our $8 tier, as well as all the bonus content for this song episode and all of our song episodes for that matter. Anyway, let's get into the songwriting process for the song, shall we? I think this is going to be a short and sweet one. Like, this song only had about 6 drafts. I think. And I'm only going to showcase about 5 of them because the 6th draft was me playing the whole song in its entirety. And we're just going to do the live performance today. So really, I'm only going to show you like 5 drafts today.
Okay.
So I think it's going to go pretty quick. This might be a very quick episode.
I don't think I contributed anything to
this. No, you did.
Song.
You did, actually.
Oh, okay.
Just you did. Yeah. See, it's this. We wrote this song long ago. You don't even remember the writing process.
I remember.
But I keep everything.
No. I'm learning from you. I am keeping everything. I'm so happy that we have this podcast to chronicle everything because I told you the other day that I was re-listening to our Salem trip, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so glad we sat down right after, talked about it, could talk about every single thing we did. I'm like, oh, Jesus, we did do all that
shit.
It's wild. So keep it all. Don't throw it away. Archive it. Invest in a external hard drive.
Yeah, keep it all. Because when you're old one day and you're in a nursing home and like you need some young and sprightly person to write your biography for you before you bite the dust, you need to have all that shit in order.
That's right.
Like, you need somebody to write your shit for you if you're not gonna, you know, do it now, because like, you know, we like to think we have a decent chunk of life ahead of us.
Who knows?
So, you know, archive everything you can along the way, along your journey, because you never know, one day you might want to write a memoir or something and you want to have all that stuff in place. So keep everything.
Or use it as blackmail.
Or use it as blackmail. That's exactly why. Keep all the receipts. Keep the receipts.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Yes. So we're going to get into this.
February?
February 18th, 2022.
Whoa.
The very first draft of this song was created February 18th, 2022. Again, 4th song in this project. I can tell just by listening to this draft that this was not something that I already had been working on prior to hitting record. And what's fascinating about this song, and this is rare, the writing of this song started happening the moment I hit record here. And I rarely hit record and start trying to figure out a fresh song. I usually have a song already started, kind of conceptualized, have some ideas already going, and then I hit record to get a draft down before I forget it. So this draft really captures a moment of purity and freshness and a moment of, I really don't know where the fuck I'm going with this, or do I even have something worth recording here? So I just clicked record, started playing, noodling, figuring stuff out. And you could kind of tell that, well, I can anyway, because I know my writing technique and I'm like, this doesn't sound like I already had ideas here. This sounds like something fresh.
Okay.
Because I seemed clueless as I was playing it. So I start finger picking on a C chord. And I think we talked a bit about the C chord in our last song or so, the All Hallows Eve film finale, the seasonal love ballad, and how it just sounds like such a romantic chord to me. So I started finger picking a chord progression, which I think was C, A minor, F, and G. And over that picking pattern, I sang the very first lines to the song, I Never Believed in Fate Before I Met You, which I think I was just fascinated by that. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I wanted to hear the rest of the story.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I knew as soon as I heard it fly out of my mouth, I was channeling Gary. I just had that feeling. So when I sat down to write that day, I don't think I knew what I was going to be writing or whose storyline I was going to be writing for. But after that line flew out of my mouth, I was like, okay, this is Gary, and this is going to be his love song to Sally. But who else?
You know he can play guitar.
Oh, probably. If he's from Arizona and he's in the into like the whole cowboy thing,
you know he has a guitar or a banjo or a harmonica.
He's definitely sat around a campfire in his day with a guitar. Right. For sure. Right. Yeah, so I definitely felt like this was the song for Gary. This one is going to be on his behalf to Sally. So that was like the only lyric that I had so far that just seemed to blurt out. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes I just start playing and I blurt out a phrase or a word or something that piques my interest enough to keep going with that idea. All of the singing that followed that line was just kind of songwriter's gibberish. No real words are sang from this point on. However, I am continuing to vocally follow the melody of that first line that I came up with through a series of hums and do-do-do-do-do-do, like, you know, like, just like humming a melody, just so I can find the inflections that I want to hit and the notes that I want to use. So in this draft, I do have this sort of back and forth pre-chorus structure, still with my gibberish humming, and then I add another walk down on the C chord, which sets me up nicely to start the chorus. So just a reminder, this is still all happening in real time, me capturing this melody and the chord structure for the verse, the pre-choruses, and now we're diving into the chorus. So listening back to the chorus, I'm melodically mapping out here. It's definitely different than what I ultimately ended up landing.
Organic.
Yeah, but not too far off what it ultimately ended up landing on. Just slightly different. You tweak as you go, you know, you tweak as you write, and it just landed a little differently than what I initially sang here. I think I might have said this before, but trying to write a song is basically like spirit writing. You are channeling the muses, and in this case, and the case for most of the songs written for most of this project, I'm channeling the spirit of the character that I am writing for. So this is me, in real time, trying to figure out what it is that Gary is trying to get me to say on his behalf. Like, I'm like, if he were to write a love song for Sally, what would he say? Yeah. What would he say, right? So in this draft, after I wrap the chorus progression that manifested itself, I go back to the pre-chorus progression that I played prior to that, the part that sets up the chorus. And this time I say the words, the truth is that I wished for you too. And the word, yeah. And as soon as I sang I wish for you too, I'm like, that's it. That's it. It's Gary. And the word two is held out and it descends on another C chord walk down. And the walk downs are really what make this song, in my opinion. They also give it that little bit of that doo-wop ballad kind of flair. So this is draft one. And let me know if any of that, what I just said, didn't make any sense. If you have any questions about any of that, but I'll let you listen to the draft and then tell me what you think.
I never believed in fate before.
Thank you. Yeah. So
I cannot wait to add all the doo-woppiness to that song when we record it. I'm so stoked. It's so good. And that's amazing. I'm shaking the cat around. It's amazing that the first click of the record and you just figuring it out, how close it is to like what it actually is.
It was very, very close, but still so far. I don't know how. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. The first thing that flew out of my mouth. I never believed in fate before I met you. I was like, all right, well, now where the fuck do I go with this? I was like, well, I guess I got to finish the story because I want to know the rest of it. You know?
You're in your think tank.
Yeah, exactly.
Extra long shower.
Yeah, yeah. My meditation station.
Ugh.
So yeah, so that was the very, very, very first draft. You can tell, like, it's so new and fresh. Like, I had no idea where I was going with any of it. So this next draft, draft number two, this draft was recorded on the same day, but it had to have been at least a couple hours after the first draft, because you'll notice that half of the song here is a lot more fleshed out with the lyrics and more solid melody. I actually have a verse one, pre-chorus, and chorus mapped out lyrically. I must have written this like as soon as I recorded, after I recorded that very first draft. I was just inspired.
Yeah.
Things flew out of me, and I was like, oh, this is good. This is good stuff. So, so let's talk about a little bit of the lyrics that I have at this point, this next draft, draft two, that we're going to be listening to in a second.
Okay.
So verse one, I never believed in fate before I met you. The first line that flew out of my mouth. So I was like, okay, where do I go with that? So the next line, but there is no way magic has nothing to do with leading me to this time and place. And then I knew it when I saw your guilty face. So
so cute. Yeah.
So basically saying, like, you know, Gary, he didn't believe in fate. He doesn't believe in curses. He doesn't believe in all that magic stuff, right? Until he met Sally. Then he's like, something about this woman makes me want to believe in all this magic stuff, right?
He has no other choice.
Yeah. And he doesn't know what else would have led him to this time and place besides her letter and her magic. Mm-hmm. So it led him to this time and place. And then he knew it as soon as he saw her. There was no proof that that was Sally. He just knew, like, can I talk to your sister, Jillian? And she's like, how did you know that she was my sister? Like, how did you know that was me? Mm. So he knew it because he saw her face and he knew she was guilty from the moment he saw her, probably. Yeah. But like, you know, like we talked in the past couple episodes, he's just going to let that stuff slide under the rug because he fucking loved her as soon as he saw her.
He's not there to do his job.
Right. He loved her before he saw her. He loved
That's
her
true.
As soon as he read that letter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. He loved her as soon as he saw those petals fall from the sky. He didn't know who it was yet, though, but he loved her then. He loved her then.
Oh.
So the pre-chorus goes, but baby, who you fooling? What kind of lies you brewing? And I kind of tried to do like the little play on words like brewing because she's a witch and witches brew. And he says, I hate to say it, but you've bewitched me. And then your touch, right? So like once they kissed, all bets were off.
Which is funny that you wrote, you bewitched me, because when we did our Gary episode, the behind the scenes commentary, was it Robin, I guess, said that Aidan Quinn came up to her and Griffin and said, she really did bewitch me.
Right, yeah.
I was under her spell.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't even realize that at the time, but you're totally right. So that's the pre-chorus. So I kind of remember my process for this one. I think after I recorded draft one, I probably played it a bit more, wrote some of these lyrics that I just read to you, and mainly the verse while I was sitting there with my guitar. But if I remember correctly, I came up with the chorus, which we'll talk about in a second. I came up with those lyrics in the shower. I think I was just singing what I was just working on prior to jumping in the shower. And I was just singing, messing around with different lyrics for the chorus. I was thinking specifically about the Amas Veritas love spell that Sally had cast on Gary when she was just a little girl. And I just loved that visual imagery of the rose petals floating toward the moon. Mm-hmm. And in the film, we do see what that looks like from his perspective, but it's only a very short snippet of the love story from his end. So I wanted to give his perspective more of a spotlight, or at least capture it in a song. And I remember singing this line during my entire shower so I didn't forget it before I could get it down on a recording. Yeah. And I remember even singing it while I was getting dressed in my closet. And I remember being so excited singing it. And I couldn't wait to get back into my office so I could record these lyrics to this chorus. So the chorus goes like this. And that's how you knew, one green eye, one blue. because that's how, you know, that's how she knew it was him. She grabbed his face and she was like, one green eye, one blue. She noticed it. That was the one thing she noticed about him that made her go, oh, you're the guy from A Spell. So that's how you knew, one green eye, one blue. The night that I saw, now this is from Gary's perspective, the night that I saw rose petals drifting across the moon, I wished on a star, and now here you are. The spell that you cast is proof, and now here is the truth. I wish for you too. And then it repeats, I wish for you too, one green eye, one blue. So I'm just like sitting there thinking, like, because we know that Gary's favorite shape is a star. So I'm thinking, because remember in our last episode, we were wondering, like, we know that Sally cast her Amas Fiditas love spell. She know the qualities that she wished for in a man, but we don't know the other end, because when he said, I wish for you too, we were like, what did Gary cast a love spell? How did he cast his love spell? If his favorite shape is a star, what if he just simply wished on a star?
I love that so much.
Right?
So cute.
I was thinking, okay, I wished on a star, and now here you are. The spell that you cast is proof. And now here's the truth. I wish for you too. And then one green eye, one blue is the hook, because that's Gary's trait. That's what he's known for. So that recording is this next draft. But mind you, this chorus melody is still not quite solid, and it's not where things ultimately ended up landing. And you'll hear the evolution of the melody as we progress through the rest of these drafts. But I'll just play you draft number two.
Okay.
So happy. Yeah. I'm so proud of you. So beautiful.
It is probably one of my favorite ones.
It's very good. I love this song. I think I remember where I was. It was either this one or Michael's song. I can't remember which one it was, but I was doing stuff over in the corner of the yard and I just stopped. I was like, holy cow, that was amazing.
You think it was this one? It might have been this one. It might have been this one, because I have a text that I'm going to read you in a little bit.
Oh, shit. Okay, good.
A correspondence between us about this song.
Oh, no.
I sent it to you. Yeah. So that was draft number two. Now we're going to talk about draft number three. This was written, again, the same day. I guess I was just feeling super inspired. I wanted to get this song out of me before I ran out of steam. Again, this draft was recorded on the same day, so I must have written a second verse after I recorded the last draft that you heard, because the last draft was just first verse, first pre-chorus, first chorus. Yeah, so the very first half of the song, basically, I had in the draft we just listened to. So now right. This next draft, I have second verse lyrics written here. So I must have written the lyrics like right after recording the last draft and then recorded this draft again.
Mm-hmm.
And this all happened, mind you, this is all happening in the morning before I even left for work.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, this is all in the span of one morning. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. So I wrote a little bit, took a shower, wrote the chorus in the shower, then got out of the shower, wrote the second verse. And this is what we're going to talk about now, verse two. So verse two goes like this. I must have read your letter 1,000 times. which is basically what he says to her, and he admits that to her in the movie. Mm. And while it's not enough to absolve you of your crimes, I sensed a longing for a love brighter than the moon. And that's how I knew that I was the one for you. So short and sweet, verse two. So this verse is a bit different than verse one in the fact that in the second half of this verse, when I sing the line, I sense a longing for a love, I do something a little different here than I do in the first verse. I hold out the brighter than the moon. So when I'm holding down the F chord on the words brighter than the moon, instead of going right to the G chord like I do in verse one, here I go to, I think it's an F minor sharp or an F sharp minor, something like that. And I hold out the note that I'm singing to build mm-hmm. a little tension a bit before finishing the verse and going into the second pre-chorus. So this second pre-chorus is different lyrically than the first. Not all songs call for a different pre-chorus. However, I wanted to advance his story a little bit and showcase what Sally's spell looked like from his perspective as a child. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to just like extend the story a little bit, elaborate on the story a little bit, just mix up the pre-choruses a little bit.
He deserves it. He only came in 3/4 of the way. Like, he barely got a story at all. So I agree that he did the right thing.
Exactly. So in pre-chorus two, I kind of wanted to paint that picture of that moment as a child when he's sitting on that horse, right? And he's looking up at the sky. So in the pre-chorus two, I say, in that firefly field so long.
Okay, wait. This is my fucking favorite part of the song. By a mile.
Tell me.
Country mile.
This tell me your thoughts.
Such good writing. Every time I hear it, I'm like, God dang, that wordplay. You are a word songstress of our generation.
No, Taylor Swift is a songstress of our generation. I'll take a close second.
Taylor Swift.
I'll take it. I'll take anything I could get. Just somebody please pay me already.
I just love this wordplay that you did here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this pre-chorus is, in that firefly field so lonely, riding backwards on that pony, as I look to the sky, you showered me with your love, your magical touch. Huh. So the lyrics are a bit different, but the chords here are the same as the first pre-chorus. In this recording that you're about to hear, instead of saying your magical touch, like the lyrics that I just read to you, in this draft, I sing and then your touch. So it's more simplified, but I eventually changed it down the line to your magical touch just to embellish the wording, make things a little more magical. It is a little different, but it's better now.
Okay.
It's much better now with the magical touch. So the second chorus in this draft is more refined than the chorus you heard in the previous draft. After I play the second chorus in this one, I go to the bridge chords. I don't remember if this was something I was already playing around with prior to recording this draft or if it was something I was trying in the moment. You'll notice here that I don't have any lyrics yet. I'm doing the melodic gibberish thing again, trying to find placement with the vowels, trying to figure out what notes I wanted where. And in this draft toward the end of the bridge, I go back to that F minor sharp for another long held out note to build it a little bit with tension before going into the last chorus. Also, you'll notice in this draft, I go right into that last chorus. It has since changed quite a bit, and I'll point out the difference in my more recent and more refined draft in the next draft. So I just wanted to point out again that the three drafts that you've heard of this song thus far have all been conceptualized, verse and melody written, recorded in the same morning. I think I was just on a roll with this one, and then I had to stop because I had to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like having to go to your day job. Yeah. Wrench in the creative process. How many times have you started a painting or something? Ugh. And like, you're like,
I hate it.
Gotta go to work now. Like,
yep.
Gotta go actually pay my bills. So,
but don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be back for you.
Exactly. But I must say, I made immense progress with this song, a song that didn't even exist just hours earlier. I just wanted to keep the momentum going, but I was at a good place with it, and I was confident enough with what I had this far. At this point, I was like, all right, I'm confident enough in it to send it Christina's way and just hear her thoughts on it, because it was still very rough. I mean, I had only been working on it for a few hours, give or take, at that point. I didn't even have the song prior to that morning. Mm-hmm. So this was like a fresh idea that I was showing you. So I was like, is she gonna like this? Is she gonna
Oh my gosh,
that'll be good.
It's funny that you have those thoughts, because like, I know I have those thoughts, but like, you're just, to me, again, you're just so confident with your musical process, and like the fact that I know I would have input, but that you were self-conscious about sending it to me. Like, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about from somebody who has been in the music business, you know, for so long, that you were worried about doing that is mind-blowing to me.
Well, I mean, look at it from this perspective. I quit doing music for a really long time because I was so used to hearing no and hearing that rejection.
Oh.
So, like, you know, it's like that trauma brain. Like, that it, no matter who it is, I'm always going to be like, are they going to like it? Is it going to be good enough?
Aww.
Like, we all have those thoughts. Like, I'm sure fucking Taylor, I keep using her as an example, but I'm sure fucking Taylor Swift has imposter syndrome thoughts. Everybody's got it, no matter what stature, how far you are in the game, how long you've been honing your craft. But I think that's just a sign of, like, good craftsmanship is just, like, wanting to put out the best work you can and
always striving
to be better, right? Yeah, no matter how far along you've come. But then also, you got to take into consideration, this was only the fourth song in our project. It was very fresh, our working process between each other.
Like, so you're saying I was still nice at this point?
You were still nice to me at this point. Even if you didn't like it, you would have probably been like, oh, this is amazing. Like, you did say it was amazing, but I didn't think you were lying to me. No. But it was still very new, it was still very fresh. And there was that part of me that was like, you came to me with, like, these stars in your eyes, and I could tell how much this project meant to you. And I was just like, I just want to do right by her. I just want to write stuff that she loves.
I had no doubt that you were the right person for this.
So I just was like, I had that thought in my brain. I was like, I just really, really hope she likes this. So I sent it over to you, and I told you that it needed a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went back into our text chat history just to see what we were saying about the song.
I don't even know if mine goes back that far, even if I haven't deleted anything.
Because I'm a fucking hoarder, and I save the receipts.
Yeah.
And I sent you a text. I sent you this text on February 18th, the same day I recorded these drafts. And this text I sent you at 1:52 p.m. So I was getting ready to head out the door for work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I texted you and I said, check out this new song. I added it to our Evernote, One Green Eye, One Blue, quote, Ed Sheeran vibes. I think cute. I was just like, I was hearing so much Ed Sheeran in this song, so it was kind of turning me off a little.
That's cute.
I actually have a funny I actually have a funny little Ed Sheeran story. So I forget what song it was it Take Me Into Your Loving Arms, is it that one, or was it, what's that other really popular one that, like, really, like, lovey-dovey one that was on the if your eyes don't work like they used to before, or something like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes.
I can't for the life remember what it was, but that song came out the year me and Avi were getting married.
Okay.
We were looking for wedding songs, and we were looking at that song, and we're like, it's really sweet, it's cute, but I don't know if that's us. It was a little cheese, and I knew that the moment that song came out, it was gonna blow up, become a fad. Every person that year was gonna use it as their fucking wedding song. Yeah. I was like,
I can't for the life of me get any of the other lyrics in my head, though.
Right.
Oh, God.
So, really funny, the turn of events, one of my bridesmaids came over, and she had gotten engaged the winter.
Is that song called Evergreen or Ever? Maybe. Something about pine trees. Evergreen.
Yeah, I don't fucking remember.
Please continue.
Yeah. So one of my bridesmaids came over, and she was engaged, and she came over to help me with some, like, wedding stuff. It was literally, like, the weekend I think that we were going to get married.
Hmm.
And we had to pack a lot of stuff because our wedding was in Pennsylvania. We had all the DIY stuff.
Yeah,
most of our wedding was DIY. So I had some bridesmaids and people over to help me pack some stuff and organize some stuff. And she came over with her fiance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that song came on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, me and Avi weren't even listening to it in regards. We had already picked our wedding song at that point. And it was not that song.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend, we're sitting there packing stuff away. And that song comes on, whether on TV or on the radio, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Packing stuff. She's like, this is going to be mine and wedding song. And I'm like,
you called it.
I fucking called it. God, thank God. I did not choose that song. And me and Avi just kind of, like, looked at each other and we're like, phew. So the wedding song that we actually picked was a Coheed and Cambria song. No, I can't remember the name of that one. Fuck, the name of my fucking wedding song. Wake up. Time to wake up. Cause in the chorus he says, and I will annoy you.
That's cute.
So it was more our speed. And when that song came on at our wedding, everybody, like, flipped out because, you know, all of our friends are, like, all the little emo scene kids. So everybody friggin' ate that shit up.
That's adorable.
So, yeah. So we chose Coheed instead of Ed Sheeran. Choice, by the way. I'm so glad I didn't choose Ed Sheeran.
That's amazing.
So when I was writing the song, I was like, fuck, this reminds me of the Ed Sheeran song that I hate.
So, that's awesome.
But now it doesn't remind me of that song anymore.
Okay, good.
Once, you know, it kind of took on a life of its own. The more I played it, the more I made it my own. And, like, now it means a whole different thing to me. I'm not hearing Ed Sheeran anymore.
Okay, good.
Again, I don't even remember what song it was in particular. It was just a lovey ballad, and I felt that it might have been too close to something he had already done. And every part of me did not want to like this song.
But so resistant.
Yeah, but the more I played it and the more that I showed it to other people, the more of a response that it got, the more people loved it. I was like, this really is a really good song.
It became its own little person.
Right, yeah. Like, this really is a good fucking song.
Yeah.
So I was hearing less Ed Sheeran and more of me and Gary.
Good.
So anyway, you had responded to my text when I told you to write a bridge.
Okay.
And you responded to my text with this. Jesus, you could totally take over. It's yours. I quit. I guess you listened to my demo at that point.
I was like, fuck it. I don't even deserve to be in this collaborative effort. You and take
I was,
it. Fuck
I was
it.
Like, absolutely not. I said, no, you write a bridge. I said, you write a bridge.
Okay.
And you responded, that was like effortlessly perfect. And I said, I appreciate that, but this was one of the hardest ones to write so far. You didn't see me cursing this one out behind the scenes. I guess I was, but like, I don't remember having a hard time with it because these drafts all came the same within a few hours. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty quick turnaround time, if you ask me, of like writing a song. That's probably like the quickest I've ever written a song.
You Stevie Nicks the fuck out of that song.
I did, I guess. So I was like, I guess I had a hard time with it when I was writing it, but looking back, I don't remember having a hard time writing it. And the proof is not in the pudding. Like, I see that I had all these three drafts. Like, I had a whole song basically before I left for work, minus the bridge, which you came in and saved the day.
Oh, geez. But you have the text messages to remind yourself, like, this was not an easy project.
I guess it was not. Yeah. So you responded back to me in a text message at 2:18 p.m. So literally 10 minutes as I'm ready to roll out the door.
Okay.
So this was your response. You wrote me a whole, you sent me a whole entire bridge.
Oh, shit.
Okay. In a text message.
So I'm not looking at our notes. I want to be surprised.
Okay.
The story.
So your lyrics were these. I still don't believe in fate. Life is ours for the taking. I did everything in my power. You can let go of that leaf. Let it carry your grief to me and I'll be there. And then in parentheses, you put something, something, LOL.
So I didn't finish the job like a Gemini.
Well, it seemed like you maybe wanted to keep going with the bridge, but I was like, it doesn't need anything else. It's short, it's sweet, it's perfect. A bridge doesn't need to be that long. It's literally what it says, a bridge. It literally is bridging the first part of the story and the conclusion of the song. It just needs to be short and sweet and kind of like capture the whole essence of the song in one little spiel, right? And you did that because you're basically saying what Gary's saying, like he doesn't believe in fate, but I did everything in my power. Life is ours for the taking. I don't have to believe in fate, but I can believe in this magic that's like, you know, the two of them.
So cute.
And he's just saying, you can let go of that leaf and let it carry your grief and I'll be there. She'll hear his call a mile away. He's just saying that he'll always hear her call and he'll always come to her aid when she needs, right? So I was like, that's perfect!
But you had to go to work!
I had to go to work! But I responded to you right away and I said, I still can't quite get the lyrics to flow the way I want them to. And I think I meant in reference to the drafts that I had already recorded and sent to you. And you wrote back in reference to the bridge lyrics that you had sent to me. And you said, I don't know if that will work with your bridge timing. But then you sent me an animated GIF with Charlie Day at the yarn board.
Like, I'm trying to fit it all together. Yeah. It's gotta work.
Gotta work. And you go, I suppose I'll go pick up a guitar. I said, do it.
Okay.
And I said, I wish I could stay home the rest of the day and just play guitar. And you said, me too, you're killing it. And I said, thank you. I hope we get to record these down the line. The phone, full circle moment. Who would have thought that we would have manifested that a year later?
Less than a year.
Like, less than a year later.
God damn, we're good.
Crazy shit. Crazy shit.
I told you we made magic together.
Ooh, Gemini and Sagittarius. That fire and air combo is magic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you draft number 3. Let me play you that part and then we'll talk about draft 4, which is my response to your bridge. So this is draft 3, second verse.
I must have read your times, and while it's too. I wish for you too.
So you could tell there that I had the bridge chords, didn't mm-hmm. have the lyrics, mm-hmm. had the inflections, had the notes that I kind of wanted to sing, but that's mm-hmm. when I was like, I gotta leave for work. I'll let Christina take a stab at this. So you sent me that text message and you sent me the lyrics in that text message and I read your text still the same day. We talked about the text before. That was the end. Basically, that was the end of our conversation about that song. I was just like, can you take a stab at it? You're like, yeah, I guess I'll go pick up a guitar after you send me, you know, all those lyrics. However, I still was not through with writing this song on this day. I was on a mission to finish this song because I have one more draft from this day. And I recorded this one at the school while I was waiting for Molly to come out.
Oh my God.
This was probably recorded around 3 p.m. or so.
Okay.
Yeah. So in this next draft, I was literally just singing into my phone while sitting in my car. And I was reading your text, trying to fit the lyrics that you had texted to me into the melody, trying to make the syllables fit with the bars that I had allotted for that bridge. And you were concerned with it possibly not fitting, but I managed to make it fit perfectly.
Of course you did.
There's little tricks you could do, like you could speed up how you sing certain words or elongate mm-hmm. certain words and change the inflection a little bit so you can make some magic happen there. So like, for example, you put, I did everything in my power. So you didn't write baby in there. It was something I added to fill more space, and because what's a love song without your token baby? Yeah, exactly. And the whole like, I did everything in my power, I kind of sped it up a little bit, like, I did everything in my power, baby, like give it some Motown, give it some soul a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, love it. So I'm not sure like who I was channeling with that. I was just feeling a little soulful. The song felt a little bit more old school than anything I had ever written previously, and I don't know why, but I feel like I needed to give Gary a little bit of that soul.
Yeah, he's an old soul.
I feel like he would listen to Joe Cocker or something, like, you know what. Him, like I don't know,
not Jethro Tull.
Wait, who sings I'm a soul man? But
I see where you're going though.
Give him that edge, that soulful edge, right? And like picturing him professing his love to Sally, I feel like he had to go to that depth, that soulful place.
Yeah.
The depths of the soul. So I also decided to build the end of the bridge and ascend on that high note that I'm hitting while going back to that F sharp minor again, or F minor sharp. I think this might be the second or third time that I'm utilizing this build in the song. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. And what can I say? Here it is, a cappella, draft number 4.
Okay.
It's very short and sweet. It's literally just the bridge.
Okay.
And trying to fit your lyrics into that little space.
Okay.
One green eye, one blue, and I promise you, baby, I still don't believe in fate. Life is ours for the taking. I did everything in my power, baby. Just let go of the leaf and let it carry your grief to me.
Okay, that was it. That was the end of that bridge. Very short. Very sweet, but like on the road, sometimes acapella is all I got.
Yeah.
I can't really sit down with a guitar. So, and you sent me those lyrics and I said, I have to get this down. If I'm going to get this down, I got to get this down now.
I love
it. I forget. Damn. It. Yeah.
I didn't know I wrote that part.
You fucking wrote that part.
Delightful.
So go you.
Impeccable.
Impeccable. Right. Exactly. Good job. Good job. Yeah.
Good job, us.
You came through with the bridge. Real quick, before we move on to the next draft, I just wanted to point out that even though I was done with this song for February 18th, I was not done writing this day. Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, shit.
On February 18th, I was looking through my drafts while I, you know, was writing the notes for this episode. When I got home from work, I must have, like, worked on other songs. I worked on Blood Oath, which I have one draft for that night, and Baby Believe Me, which I have four drafts for that
God
night.
God damn.
So I did a lot of songwriting that day, but those are...
On a roll.
Yeah, man. Those songs are a story for a different day, but I just wanted to point out how much I was bubbling over with this newfound inspiration, because, again, this was a fresh project for the both of us at this point. Like, it was just so new and exciting. And like, I was just like, I need to get these songs out. And I hadn't written at that point for like a good decade. I hadn't written any music. So I was like, this is amazing that I'm even like, I just wanted to ride that wave as long as I could. And I was like, I might as well just keep writing and keep churning songs out while it's coming to me, because who knows when the well's going to go dry again, you know?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, totally.
We have many other songs come out that month, right? We wrote like 20 songs in the span of a month. A month and a half, maybe?
I think we definitely should do Blood Oath next, because, girl, I just, like, dipped my little toe into Blood Oath. That's all I wrote. Yeah. And boom! Oh, there's so much we can talk about. I hope that didn't, like, blast out our mics.
Boom! Yeah, we got a lot of songs, man. We're still writing here and there. You know, it's not at the volume that we were.
I want to start writing again.
Yeah.
I want to finish your Summer Solstice one. I want to do the Maria one. I want to do the Belladonna one. I want to do them all.
The Maria one, we definitely got to finish.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, but like, I was working on 2 to 3 of these songs a day at times. Like, it's crazy. Like, I had not written that much, I don't think, ever in the course of my entire writing, if you want to call it a career. Like, I was going balls to the wall.
Yeah.
And thank you for putting the fire under my ass.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So I think this is the last draft that I have for this song, because draft number 6 is just the full song in its entirety. So this next draft, draft number 5, was recorded on February 19th. So the day after that explosion of rocket sauce that I just showed you.
Yeah.
I think this is the only draft I have for this song, for this day, one day after everything else. And this one is titled Bridge/Coda. So in music, a coda is a passage that brings a piece to an end. Sometimes it's different than the rest of the song, but other times it's just like a little addition that ends a song. Depends, you know, what the song is. Depends how you want to use your coda. So I was trying to work out how to come out of the bridge and ultimately end the song. So typically when I have a large bridge and I've built the climax of that bridge really nicely, I like to contrast that by coming into the next chorus much softer with more of a chorus break. So it's still a chorus, but without all of the instrumentation elements. So instead of like a driving beat of like a regular chorus, like if you were to listen to it with full instrumentation, like full drums, instead I'll come out of a bridge and strip it back and like no drums. So you're probably wondering, like, how do you do this acoustically? Like, if you don't have a drummer, how do you do that? So since I don't have all of that instrumentation elements, I don't have all of those at my disposal during the writing process, the answer to that is I usually finger pick or change up how I'm playing it, play it much softer. So for example, if I'm hitting that climax of that bridge with hard downstrums, like da-na-na-na-na-na-na, I'll conclude the bridge, come into an abrupt stop, and then I'll mute my strings, and then I'll come back into the next chorus with something more subdued, like finger picks. Yeah, very soft. So it's important as a songwriter to really understand dynamics when it comes to writing on an acoustic guitar. There's certain things you can do at certain points in a song to have more impact. And this awareness of dynamics and how you want to build and lull a song, it helps convey to a producer what you want the different parts of your song to sound like once the instrumentalists are involved once you get into a studio. So I think that's what it was with this draft. I started to sculpt more of that dynamic, building up the bridge, softening the following chorus with some finger picking in that break, then building it up again quickly with about, I think, 7 down strums. I think I counted 7 down strums that da na 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 na. And that's meant to simulate a drum pickup fill. That would kick off the full instrumentation to come in to wrap up the last full chorus or two before finally ending the song. I think this is what this draft was. It's just me trying to fine tune the ending end portion of the song when all that dynamic stuff is happening from the bridge to the very end of the song, I guess, the coda, if you want to call it that. So here it is. This is draft number 5, bridge/ Coda.
One green owl knew, but now here's the truth. I still don't believe in fate. Life is ours for the taking. I did everything in my power, baby. You can let go of that leaf and let it return your grief to me. Green, I want blue. That's how I knew. The night that I saw rose petals drifting across the moon. I wish on a star.
So there you have it. That's the very last draft that I have for the song as far as like writing goes. I did record this song one more time. The last recorded version of this song in my phone notes came just a few weeks after the one that you just heard from February 19th of me trying to finish the bridge and the end of the song. In this draft, draft six, I play the whole song in its entirety. And you can really tell in this draft that I had been playing the song a lot more since writing it. I was growing into it melodically, changing syllables and inflections around on some of the notes that I was previously singing. Some of the lyrics may have even changed slightly. It was in a comfortable place at this point that I was ready to do a scratch demo. And a scratch demo is usually the recording just prior to recording it once more to like a metronome for pre-production. And I mean, everybody does this differently, but this is just kind of my process. So it's not quite a pre-production recording just yet, but it's just one step before that. It's done being written at this point, and I just kind of wanted it as a reference track from start to finish with all of the melodic changes and inflections that, like, you know, I had been growing into over the course of the month playing the song and getting to know it and growing into it. So instead of playing you this last draft, I will just play the song for you now.
Yay!
So let me tune up. It's been a minute since I've played this song, so, or any of these songs for that matter.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Very busy. So for all of you guitar players out there, if you guys are interested in playing along, this is on capo 3, and it's in the key of C. First chords are C, A minor, F, and G. Pre-chorus chords are F and G. Chorus chords are C, A minor, F, and G. I do that walk down on the C chord at the end.
Or join our Patreon and get everything over there.
Yeah, we'll do lyric sheets and the scratch demo will be over there. So the one, this draft six that I'm not going to play you guys, that's, I guess, what we'll post over on the Patreon.
Okay. Tuna, tuna.
Where's my tuna?
Tony, Tony, turn around.
Tone it down, Tony.
Tone it down, Tony.
Okay. All right, here we go. One, two, three.
To this time and place. that's how you knew.
Insert screaming.
Yeah. I end it different every time. I just feel it out. But yeah, so much
amazing.
I love playing that song. Like, who doesn't love a good fucking love song? You know.
I have only heard the scratch track. I think I listened to your live performance when you did your gig, but it's just you just had a little flavor every time. And this is like so brand new. The ending that you added in is so beautiful, and the last chord you picked is so fucking
beautiful. That F sharp minor, I think that is. I still don't know if it's an F sharp minor or an F minor sharp.
No, the very last one you did.
That's just a C chord.
Oh, I thought you did something else. I thought you had your pinky down doing something now.
I might have. I don't know.
Well, play back the video. Yeah.
Fucking C chord. I love. It just sounds so romantic. I love a C chord.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh. My. God.
So that's the song, guys. We hope you liked it. And there is one other thing that I think I'd like to share with our patrons. So a few months after I had written the song back in 2022, I started taking this music production course.
Mm.
I wanted to learn, like, I didn't know if like we were going to be producing these songs. Like, I didn't know how we were going to produce these songs. So I took a production course and I actually started mapping out some of the instrumentation with some MIDI instruments.
Yeah, cool.
And there was no way that I'm trying to take the place of actual instrumentation of like session musicians, because a session musician can just bring so much magic to like a simple art or like
as we saw firsthand.
Right. Like, yeah. Remember when we did the MIDI drums with Mike and we were like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. Like, and you, I know, remember you being very nervous. You were like, I really hope this doesn't fucking sound like shit.
I was very nervous because like I've done pre-production before, but never like that, because like I've always been in a band with a drummer, or I've always had a relationship with a drummer that like I could trust them already before even getting into the studio. We didn't know who our drummer was gonna be for our song, right?
Yeah. No, we still can't find him anywhere on social media.
He's on LinkedIn only. He's
on LinkedIn only.
He's from LinkedIn. So we had no idea. So we really had to go in with a lot of blind faith, right? On the Magnolia Street single. So I think now that we know the process with Mike, our producer, I think things are getting a little more lax with the
songs. And even just watching him work side by side, because some of the musicians sat in where his like controls were
Yeah.
And you can see him listening and he's like feeling the music in his body and moving his hands a certain way. I'm just remembering when the slide guitar came in and you can hear him. He's listening back and he's doing this like magical little thing with his hands where he wants it to come in. He's a conductor, you know? He's
a mad scientist.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Amazing. So we can't wait to get back in there with him. I'm so stoked. And after this song episode, do you want to put this one on the
E? Yeah, dude. I'm down for that.
Me and Christina have had many disagreements and arguments of what songs are going to go, what four songs are going to go on this EP. Yeah. We have so many to choose from, and we really want to choose wisely because
I love this song.
We don't know when we're going to get back into a studio after these four songs because it took us a while. Well, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't take us that long to get these songs.
Right, but the process that it took to get there was something we had never done, and we found it overwhelming, and we're so grateful to everyone who contributed. But it's not interesting in my nature to depend on other people to fund something like that. So if this takes off on its own, fantastic. We really are hoping to get those other songs done. And we just want to show you what we can do with just an EP. Like that little nugget is going to be gold. A golden nugget.
The golden nugget by Joy Visions. Remember the angel lady from the thrift store?
Was that her name?
Her name was Joy, but she told me to go to the Golden Nugget flea market. And I was
I didn't know that was the flea market. Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck's the Golden Nugget flea market? Okay. I still don't know.
Because she's not real.
I went there, but I didn't. I mean, I guess I found something, that little book that I was telling you about from the Exorcism episode.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still don't have answers to those questions. So open-ended. Anyway, back to the MIDI instrumentation. I was trying to map the song out with MIDI just to see how this song could possibly sound. Mm-hmm. So it was like kind of like a roadmap or my own sort of pre-production just to hear what it could sound like with those instruments. And I'm not glued to this in any way. It was just an experiment for me to practice my new production skills that I was learning in my course. So I can put that up over on the Patreon in our $8 tier if you guys want to go over there and take a listen.
Oh, I would love to. I think you did send it to me a long time ago.
Yeah.
I didn't hang on to it. I'm very sorry. Yeah. What I want to ask you, did anything in Mike's control booth, our producer's control booth, were you like, oh, that's familiar because I worked with that in your class?
I still look at all of those panels and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they do. I'm just a singer-songwriter. I show up with my songs and I'm like, producer, make the magic. I just write the songs. I don't know nothing else.
In that last episode, what was it? I think it was Heterochromia. You're like, I'm an old lady. Leave me alone. Just let me come in with my songs and then let me fuck off.
Yeah. You'd think after all these years, I would pick something up. But like my brain is the least technical brain that you can imagine, which is kind of like why I ditched my production course.
Because you can't say that with what you just presented with the technicality of like why you put certain chords a certain way or why you were soft in some parts and not in the other parts. That's all technical.
In a sense, it is technical for somebody who doesn't know.
Who doesn't do it,
probably listens to these songs. So it's, or doesn't, because they're like, I don't fucking know what the fuck she's talking about. Sure. But like, to me, songwriting is more creative and more of like an intuitive process. Whereas like, if you go into a studio, you see all those knobs, each knob like has numbers next to it. And my brain with numbers, forget it. No. So I'm like, I don't know what that all means. I'm sorry. But
it all takes practice too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That too. I mean, I'm sure if I actually stuck with my production course and like I had somebody sitting with me every day, like showing me what to do.
Sure.
But like, you know, it's kind of like a study at your own pace kind of course. And you know,
we all know how it is.
Right, exactly. So I did what I could with the tools and new skills I had at my disposal. I am able to kind of create scratch demos now a little more easily, and I know how to program MIDI instruments, but in a very basic way, not these like extravagant instrumentation arrangements, but like just enough to get the idea across. Like if I were to bring this to other musicians or to a producer, they could probably take this and be like, okay, I know.
Yeah, makes their job easier.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Jess, for putting this together and for sharing it with not only our listeners, but with me all over again and experience the magic all over again. It is a beautiful song. I am fully on board with including it in this first EP roundup, and I'm down. So, but thank you
thank you again for putting this together.
Thanks. I like how you weren't reading the notes the whole time because you wanted to be surprised all over again. I love that.
Yeah. 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 But thank you. Yes. And just one more reminder that we have created, listeners, that Spotify playlist with just our song episodes on there. And there are so many more to come. So check that out in our show notes if you'd like to get down that rabbit hole of our original music and all the behind the scenes stuff, the writing process that went into all of those. And also another reminder is that if you're into all of our music stuff, you can find all the bonuses for these musical episodes on our $8 Rose tier over on our Patreon. And that tier is where we post all of our demos for these song episodes, as well as the lyric sheets, the guitar chords, if you want to play along, as well as any other bonuses that go along with that song of the day. Also in that $8 tier, any of the video episodes we do are on there, and we give out that one video episode a month. If you want to see our stupid ass faces, it's over there. But also any interviews we do, we try to also have the full interview over there with our guests so you can see their beautiful faces also.
Yeah. If you guys want to support the podcast in general, you can check out patreon.com/Magnolia Street Podcast. And also we do have a little spiel here, so we'll pop that in there so you guys can get the rundown of the whole tier system. If you guys do want to support the podcast on Patreon, you can support us for as little as $1 a month. That's our seedling tier, and that gets you access to our patron-only polls where you get to weigh in on what topics you would like us to talk about next. It also gets you our monthly calendar so you can see what topics we have coming up for the month, and it also gets you a welcome shout out on the show. Our $3 Lavender Bud tier get you our show notes for each episode in an aesthetically pleasing PDF, our after-hours posts, if there's any extra tidbits or behind-the-scenes info pertaining to any of our episodes, we'll post those along with a blog post or extra photos, and access to our specially curated Spotify playlists. We have created playlists for our WMSR episodes as well as Production Dream playlists for each song episode, and more. Our $5 Lilac tier gets you access to our private Facebook community where we host a monthly live stream. Plus, you'll get access to our Discord server where we host our monthly watch parties. And also on the Discord, you can join in on the discussion with other Magnolia Street neighbors via the various interesting channels and threads. And then here's the $8 Rose tier. This gets you access to extra audio-visual content such as a once-a-month full-length video episode, unlimited bonus videos, uncut footage, cutting room floor footage, bloopers, outtakes, meditations, exclusive interviews, and old home videos from the vault, or spell or ritual videos, and more. It also gets you bonus content to coincide with our song episodes, such as full-length demo streams of our original Practical Magic inspired music, plus lyric sheets, guitar chords, and original scratch demos, or bonus video performances of our songs, and more. Lastly, we have our $15 Wisteria Vine tier. Just like a twisting Wisteria Vine, there's a way for you to stay connected with us, the Steenas. In this tier, we invite you to join our private Marco Polo video messaging app. The app is totally free for both Android and iOS. Sign up with your phone number or email, and we will help you do the rest. This is a great way to chat with each other in a more intimate group setting, face-to-face via video recording. We love to show each other our pets, our gardens, or anything else you'd like to share. And just a reminder that the higher the tier you sign up under, the more rewards you get, because you get all of the rewards of the tiers below it. You can upgrade or downgrade or even cancel at any time. So to support the podcast, head to patreon.com/Magnolia Street Podcast.
Yeah, and there are additional ways to support us and our podcast that don't cost you any money. If you do listen on Spotify, please give us a star rating. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please give us a written review. We love sharing those on our Instagram. And if you're on Instagram, we would really appreciate any reposts or blurbs about our podcast. And make sure to tag us at Magnolia Street Podcast in your feed, posts, stories, and share us with your practical magic love and friends.
We have some merch, right? We have some merch.
Did you see my Simpin' for Sally design yet?
No. Where is it?
It's on our Canva.
I'm gonna have to go look at it.
Check it out. But yeah, head over to our Teespring. You can find the link in our Instagram bio through our Koji links. We have quite a few things over there. Some of the things are going to be going away because they were a limited thing. We had a season one poster and a season one t-shirt. I don't know if we're doing a giveaway anymore, but head over there before it's all gone.
Okay. Right. Anything else that we need to share before we hit the road for today?
That's it, man. I'm excited to talk to you in a couple days. Yeah. Our next episode.
Yeah, I think our next episode is going to be Rosemary, right? We're talking about Rosemary? Cool.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Christina.
I'm Justina.
And we'll see you next time.
That was very Cher of you.
I was trying to do Cher, huh? Or Celine, like a Celine you
heard. Or Celine.
You believe in life after love. I can feel something inside myself.
At the house on Magnolia Street, would you go down to Magnolia Street with the mysterious wild? At the house of magic and mystery, so would you go down to Magnolia Street?
Celine, Shakira, Cher, name your diva and I'll do it.